This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome to this episode of In The Black. We were very fortunate right before the whole COVID-19 saga kicked off in Australia. We had our business coach and partner of this podcast, founder, CEO, Sean Greeley of MP in the studio in person. It was great to have him in person. He was out here for an event. It was amazing to meet so many of you guys at the event. We had a fun time. It was completely just unexpected, always just the love that we experience at these events and just how much enjoyment we have. So we talk a little bit about that event and some of the stuff we learned from it. And then obviously we had Sean in the studio. I really wanted to talk specifically about sales with Sean. I think that if there's anything that's, you know, if anything's going to hit home hard, it's Sean talking about sales.
Yeah, it is unreal. I mean, it's different for us because like we've used the systems and made so much money just using the systems that he preaches in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, in times like these, hey, what's going to turn around for any business? Sales.
Absolutely.
There is nothing else right now except sales that is going to turn things around. You know,
if
it's a trying time, you've lost memberships, you need to find a new product offering and then you need to sell it. And he's the best when it comes to selling fitness in the fitness industry.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I took away from that event was good marketing cannot make up for bad sales. Great marketing, fantastic marketing cannot make up for bad sales, but really, really good sales can make up for terrible or no marketing at all.
Man, you get lied to because people are offering you marketing help.
Yeah.
They're not offering you sales help. So all on Instagram feed, they're like, oh, buy this sales marketing course, we'll get you leads. None of that is going to compare to just you or your coaches being able to sell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So guys, in this episode, we talk about a lot of stuff, but if you are interested in what MPE do, we do have a download, a guide for you at our link with MPE. That's themindmuscleproject.com/NPE. You guys can go there, listen to the episode. That's the link to go to. It's in the description of this episode as well to check out the offer that we have for you guys with Sean. All right. It's an incredible episode, guys. Let's get into it. Mind Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode. We're in the studio today, new recording kit, so I'm using the mouse from a distance, which I'm very excited with. But today, no, it's not about my excitement. We are in the studio with Sean, as you know, is our fitness business coach, probably the best title for you, but really, we're becoming more and more friends, which is fantastic. And we just got off a two-day event with the Sydney group, and it was good. I know some of you listening right now maybe wanted to go to the event. Actually, I saw some name tags. I won't say who, of people that signed up and didn't actually go. So you should definitely rethink that. But yeah, I think it was a really good 2 days for us personally because, you know, like we were saying before, we don't get an opportunity always to sit down and meet face-to-face with other gym owners and talk like, okay, how can we make our gyms better? So that's always fun. We really enjoy that. That was really good. It's good to see like the Australian arm of business owners, that contingent sort of growing. I feel like this is the group now for the Aussies. Like there's no other group there anymore that's doing anything sensible. You know, obviously there's some crazy marketing groups and stuff, but you know, you're just getting ripped off there. So yeah, it was good to meet everyone in person. Obviously we met tons of new people, people that have been listening to the podcast for a while. So you guys listening, you know, it was awesome to meet you in person and have a chat face to face. And I just wish we could have got to do it with more of the different Aussies. But I think it'll grow in the future. You know, some of us just making a slow decision to kind of jump on board and grow and stuff. But it's all the same problems we had. You know, I was talking to heaps of the guys and it's so funny because we haven't been to one of these events in, what, 3 years at least? Yeah, since we joined MPE, right? So maybe 3.5 years. And it's funny because, you know, 3.5 years ago when we sat in the room, we were like the smallest gym there or we were one of the smaller gyms. And then now, you know, we're one of the bigger gyms there. But it's, you know, I was just explaining to a lot of the guys, talk to them, it's just like, it's just levels, right? So you just got to unlock each level at a time. You can't try and go from level 1 to level 10. Level 1 is level 2. So it's just like small steps and it feels like I could look around the room and I'm like, yeah, guys, I can see it feels impossible. Because I remember sitting there in the chair thinking, oh, how am I ever going to get there? How am I going to find the right staff? You know, how am I going to build this system? How am I going to bring more leads in and make these sales? And I could see the look on their faces like, fuck, this is hard work. But I'm like, that's what it's about. You know, that's the same position we sat in, the same feelings of helplessness we had. But you just unlock the levels and with each subsequent level unlocking, grows more confidence and more self-belief. So I was like, just don't rush it. You know, it's just stay on it. And, you know, the thing is you have to do the work, right? So you're just doing the work and getting it done. And that's what it's about. Like, it's when you sit there and you twiddle your thumbs, you do nothing, then you only have yourself to blame. But if you're doing the work, eventually it pays off, you know. It's nothing that special about it. You've gotten to this point now, you're sitting in the room, so it can be done. So that was a cool day. And you know, a big focus of those 2 days was the sales side of things. So that's what we wanted, specifically I wanted to talk to you about, Sean. So I thought we could first, like, maybe... Yeah, jump in.
Well, just real quick, I want to first of all say shout out to, thank you to all our Asia Pacific members that were also in the room. We had a Singapore crew there.
That's right.
Will was hilarious. We had some we had some good folks in
Will,
the room.
Will, you are a legend.
Yep. Legend. And also just to share, I think for many business owners, you know, the journey that you're talking about the last few years from starting out where you were, being the smallest in the room, and now being one of the bigger in the room, and the progression path you've been on, it's been a multi-year journey. And it can feel overwhelming in the beginning. I think that mindset and that growth and that learning curve is very much like what our clients go through in fitness. You know, you think about someone joining for the gym that's been inactive for several years or never been active, and they see, you know, people that have been training for years and they're thinking like, I'm never going to be able to achieve that.
Yeah, for sure.
Never, like never. And, you know, little by little, right, inch by inch, you know, a few years later, they've achieved now an incredible level of confidence, success, and they're able to share that journey with others and pay it forward. And I think, you know, that is what all good things take work. They take time and they take patience and they take commitment, and they're going to require you to recommit on a new level to yourself and to your goals and to your journey. But that's how we become transformed. And that's the beauty of the transformation and the power of the transformation you know, in all areas of life.
You know what I noticed from the weekend is because you lay out the progression to be a more successful gym so clearly, like this is what you do when you're at 5,000 a month, and this is how you're all the way up to 60,000.
100,000 plus a month. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's introspection for a lot of gym owners there about, oh, okay, they haven't got any more excuses about why they're not doing it. And they're like, I wonder why I'm not getting this stuff done. You know, because you're like, dude, this is it. This is the path. You start here and you work your way through, and you haven't done it in the last 3 weeks, and you signed up 3 weeks ago. And I think just having that, okay, now there's no more excuses. Why the fuck aren't I doing this? That was a big one for me on the weekend.
And also, I think they also see people who are at levels above them. And that always helps, right? Your environment always pushes you. So that's why people join gyms of people that can do crazy shit. Right, that can overhead squat 140 kilos because they're like, all right, it's possible. I'm looking at it, right? So I can just do the steps. So when they hear gyms that make more money and have bigger teams and have more locations or whatever, they go, it can be done. You know, it can be done because, you know, when you sit there in your gym by yourself, you don't know if it can be done or not. You don't know if anyone's telling the truth or whatever. So I think when you see it and it's real and it's tangible, it's something in you that's like, okay, it can be done. You know, I believe it.
And I want to speak to that. I think whether it's fitness or business, getting yourself in the right environment is one of the most important keys. You got to be in a place where you are going to be challenged to grow. You're going to be pushed outside your comfort zone, and you're going to be supported in that journey. But that's how we become the best version of ourselves we can be, whether it be as entrepreneurs or, you know, husbands or fathers or whatever role we want to improve in our lives. So.
And then, you know, before we jump to the sales, I guess it ties into it, but, you know, one question I asked you, I don't know if you recall it on the weekend, but it was like the difference in the different levels of these business owners. Like, besides all the numbers and stuff on paper, it's like, it's coming down to the people. So who are you, I mean, it's obviously a big mindset stuff, but what are some of the like key things that you're seeing between people that have the mindset that they're stuck down low and where they want to be, and people that maybe have progressed further?
That's a great question. You know, it's really at every level we've got to evolve our mindset to keep growing. So one of the things that we spent a lot of time talking about this weekend is, you know, you look at where we're at today with our you know, wherever you are, if you're listening to the show, what are your goals? What are your desires? What do you really want to accomplish? And you spend some time, you get a little clarity on that. And then you want to get clear about the things that are standing in your way. So what's holding you back? What are things you need to work on or improve? And then how are you feeling about that? And then what is the mindset that you might be taking the situation that might be part of the problem, right? And it's tough to analyze and have retrospective on that, but that's where a coach and an external mentor can help with some of those things. But think about like the fitness example. So, you know, our beliefs, really what we're talking about is our belief system, right? Our belief system guides and creates our reality at the end of the day. And so you think about someone with fitness and they might be thinking, I just don't have enough time. you know, that's their belief. And they reinforce that belief. I'm too busy. I don't have enough time for fitness. Versus, are people that are fit have more time? No, they have this. We all have the same amount of time. They often have more responsibilities. They have more things they've got to juggle, but they've organized their life to prioritize and discipline their time, their energy, their focus management, and create space, because they know that prioritizing and dedicating some time to themselves and fitness is going to make every other area of their life better and more fulfilling and more impactful in their relationships and their career and so on. And so they've got to change that belief, right? I don't have enough time. And that dominant thought, I don't have enough time, to, right, I need to make time. And making time is critical for me to be my best for everybody else. And it's not about being selfish. It's about, are you really committed to being your best? Well, if you are, then you being making time is not an option. It's critical. Mm. But that's a different shift. So I think, you know, our beliefs guide and create our reality in all areas of our life. And it's very, very important to look at, what belief am I carrying right now that may be time to question and evolve, right? And really, we're going deep right off the bat, but let's do it. So, you know, I think the question is how you start to look at belief is, you ask yourself, is that belief helping me move forward right now? Is that belief helping me grow and evolve? And by the way, we're always looking, you know, if you're willing to examine your beliefs, you're going to always be evolving your beliefs at every level, right? And you're going to see some opportunities where, when you question that, you're either going to, you know, it allows you to say, let me think, is that a yes or is a no? Could I shift? And generally, we can always shift. We always have to keep shifting and evolving our mindsets at every stage. And when we do, then we start to feel differently about the world around us. We start to take different actions in the world around us. And that's how we overcome our challenges. That's how we fulfill our goals and desires. So, you know, at every stage, we've got to keep evolving our mindset to continue to grow. Mindset's number one, you know, action becomes number two. Right. And there's other key components are, you know, the faith we keep on that journey. I think it's important to be kind to others in that journey. But
right.
Mindset, action, you know, are going to be the two critical drivers that we, until we get those right, you know, nothing's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah. Mindset and action very tightly interwoven, because without the correct action or constant action, then it really negatively affects your mindset, because, you know, we're existing right now in a generation of people that are becoming, I would say, too ambitious and setting their expectations too high for what's achievable at their age, because we have so much access to what other people are doing. They're seeing 15-year-old kids and YouTubers making millions of dollars or whatever. So, you know, there's this generation of kids growing up expecting that they're going to be rich driving Lamborghinis when they're 21.
One click. We all want to one click everything.
Right. You know? And that's I think that's a problem for even our generation as well. They're spending so much time, you know, Instagram has massive influence over the fitness industry. It's a big part of it. And people are profiting a lot off the digital side of the fitness industry. And I think that the brick and mortar side of the fitness industry is a little maybe disheartened about the kind of growth they can experience, because they're feeling like, well, I'm in this industry too, and I feel like I'm serving people better. Whether that is true or not, it doesn't matter. But, you know, they're feeling like, okay, this person's just come in and they're just taking all this money and they didn't have to work that hard for it. They just see a digital business scaling so quickly. And, you know, they're just different nuances to the business. And that mindset almost stops them from taking action in their business, and they lose integrity with their self, or maybe they expect that things are going to be a lot better than they are because they're comparing themselves to these, you know, fictional characters on Instagram, which you don't even know if what they're showing you is even true, right? It could all just be fake.
Well, I mean, we were in a conversation, you know, before the show today, and we're talking about a business that's doing, you know, 100 million and they're still not profitable. So, you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side, depending on what you see, you know, from the outside looking in. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's like sports or fitness. I mean, the person you're competing against is really yourself at the end of the day. That's the most important competitor. It's not what everybody else is doing. It's what are you doing and how are you working to improve? And so, you know, look at where you are right now. Look at your goals and get some advice, someone to help you set some reasonable goals and get a reasonable action plan to where you can make progress. And, you know, I think when we're making progress is generally we're feeling good about things. It's when we're not making progress and we're just having, you know, the recurring problems over and over again and we're stuck, we start to get, you know, depressed and not feel good about life and our opportunity to improve our situation. Like, we're not in control.
Yeah.
But we are always in control. We always can take control.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you said that because I remember one of the guys, when we would do the intro at the event, he said, he just gave the analogy of he feels like he was just for the last few years, he's just been backed up into the corner, just taking punches without feeling like there's a way out. And I saw it and I just made a mental note. I was like, okay, I wonder where you'll be at the end of this 2 days. Because there's always a significant transformation, I find, for most people absolutely. At these events where they're like, it's a full 180 turnaround. And of course, he was that guy. I'm like, well, because it doesn't really get much lower than that, right? He just gave the analogy of taking punches. I was like, fuck, okay, he feels pretty stuck right now. And then they came out and they're like, yep, this, that, so different. And so they have this new energy and the positivity. And it does sometimes take these events to turn around, which is, you know, selfishly part of why I was a little bit disappointed that there weren't more people there, because I know running a gym is tough. And I know there are heaps of people that are listening to this that feel stuck, feel like they're just taking punches. And, you know, when we offer them a chance to come to an event like this, they don't take it and they just take more punches, right? And you can to turn it around. And it's not to say there's not going to be more in the future. There definitely will. But yeah, it's just one of those things where I just thought to myself, fuck, I wish there was just more guys here, because you can get that turnaround. And those turnarounds are like one of those moments you talk about in 5 years. It's like, oh, there was this one time we went to this event and this happened. I changed my belief and then I took the actions. And it just seems, when you're saying it now, like, how could this one pivotal moment change everything? That's just how it works. I'm sorry to tell you. Like, that's just that one thing shifts in a gear and you're like, yep, you're more ambitious. You decide to take more action. You take less shit from someone else. You have a discussion with people like us or whatever and you go, oh yeah, turns out I just need to do that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Actually, that client of ours in particular, it was great to see that beginning, where you're talking about the beginning of day one and the end of day two. And it was a roller coaster through the 2 days too.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
To see him and his wife just leave, like, they're gonna do well.
Yeah.
You know, really, really unbelievable to see that, from being in a really dark place to being filled with light at the end of the event. So, but I agree. I think, you know, if you're listening to the show, then you're obviously, you know, you're actively willing to seek, you know, opportunity and education, information. And I think we just have to continue to take that next level, be open to seeking, but also to really engaging. Like, you know, anybody can sit there and read an article on fitness, but like, get your ass in the gym and go start doing some shit.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing with your business, like engage some education and work, you know, whether it's MP or whatever, but work with someone to start moving forward. And all of a sudden you're going to have a different perspective. You know, I like to share, it's always like climbing to the top of a big mountain. You don't really know how that path, that journey, but when you take some steps forward, you have a different angle and perspective on the journey. And then you start to see another angle and take steps, and you just have to get on the path, start walking the path.
Yeah.
Right. Don't just sit there. Don't complain. Don't be a victim. Blame, you know, your circumstances or some excuses. Just start putting one foot in front of the other. And it's amazing what can happen. Like, and you know, being a business coach and running a, you know, business education coaching company for 14 years now, I can tell you, we've seen people who, you know, called us, they were like, yeah, I'm for sure closing the business, like for sure shutting it down. But I just want to confirm, like, you think that's the right idea, right? That's what I should do. and you know, we said, well, you know, you could do that, or, you know, here's some other scenarios to consider. And to see those people, you know, triple, quadruple their business in the past, you know, year or 2 years or whatever it might be, and continue on to have great success. You know, we all need to have, you know, to find coaches and mentors and the right environment to help us to grow. If you want to grow, get yourself an environment to grow. Don't sit there and try to figure it out yourself. You're obviously not, it's not working, you know, and get yourself in the right environment and get yourself in a room where you're going to be challenged.
Well, what you said, I think is so true, is when you start to struggle, you tend to go inwards.
Isolate, yeah.
And you like stop telling other people about how it's going. You know, you stop asking for help and you get more and more. And if you're an entrepreneur, then you've got no one else to speak to, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And you have to go outward when you're struggling. You know, you reach out more for help.
Yes. Yes. And it's conversations, you know, that will have an impact and change your mindset, open a new door and opportunity, learn a new system, take a new action, you know, that, and things just start to evolve. And I mean, this is the fun, you know, you guys are represent well being, you know, loving the personal growth, loving the professional development, loving, you know, how that transforms in your business and your life. And this is so good. We just want to get more people involved in that journey with us, right? Yeah. It's just so fun. So.
Yeah. So one of the things you said I thought would be a good kind of segue into the sales stuff that I wanted to talk about was, said the most, you heard from someone else, the most successful people, I think I'm going to get it wrong, is the poet and the assassin or something. It's like these two.
Killer. Poet and the killer.
Yeah. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah. It refers, it's a marketing mentor of mine, but talks all about with creative and content and marketing. But, you know, if you're the, you know, people get really in love with the content, you know, for sake, which is really, you know, we're talking about being the poet, right? And the poet is going to produce some interesting works, right? And that's cool. And then the killer is like, people are all focused on sales, and really the content doesn't matter. The sales, as long as they get the conversion, right? And they're going to make some money. But if you fall in love with being a poet and being a killer, you're going to be rich.
Mm.
And it's really about, you know, in marketing, it speaks to falling in love with the process of producing great creative, but also, you know, being really focused on sales and conversion, because sales is what helps everyone grow and what helps your client take action to grow and help them in their journey and all those things. So just, you know, I think, yeah, that speaks to, you know, falling in love with the process and really looking to be good at the, you know, you're going to be rich if you become really good at those pieces and if you enjoy those pieces and, you know, just fall in love with the pro. Mm. It's like anything, like you fall in love with working out, you're going to be fit.
Yeah.
Right? Like you don't have to worry about, am I going to be fit?
Mm.
You will be fit because you fall in love with working out.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, enjoy the process, embrace the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important, that message, I think, because so many people in this day and age, all they see is great poetry through content. You know, we're absorbing 12 to 16 times, I think last count, more content than we were like 2 years ago or something, 3 years ago. So people are seeing more and more of what they think is the most important part. And usually sales happens behind the scenes for a lot of service businesses, right? So, you know, there was a few different people that reached out to you guys and I was chatting to them. They were a little bit unsure or whatever. And they were just like, you know, I just need a better content strategy. I just need better social media stuff. I need more of like what you guys do on social media. And I almost felt like saying to them, I'm like, look, the social media is great, but, you know, and you know, I've got a guy that, you know, runs our social media and he just does really well, and it's beautiful, of course. But I don't do it because I just want to show off and make beautiful stuff. I do it because I know it leads to conversion. I know that it makes money for us. And that's the important part, is because now we're all just getting so lost in just making, you know, more and more content and beautiful, yeah, content, and this content, and copying this person, and, you know, these amazing videos, and, you know, buying the latest camera. And I'm like, but if it's not converting to anything, then don't waste it. And I've sat down with some of the best marketing strategists in the country working with huge brands, and he'll go and he'll give me the whole presentation. At the end of the day, he'll say, look, all this stuff's expensive and you can do all of it. And we've seen people spend tons of money on making content. And I'm not talking about thousands of dollars. I'm talking about millions of dollars, these companies that don't increase their bottom line. And so the best marketing strategists and content creators know it's got to look good, but it's got to equal dollars sales at the end of the day, right?
Sales.
Yeah. And these people, and even some of the guys in the room.
Unless we're on a charity, you know, we got to make a sale.
And some of the guys in the room, they were saying like, oh, you know, this is awesome. Like, you know, we're here to create a lot of content, and they had been. And then at the end of the 2 days, they were like, oh, well, we need to focus on sales, you know, because content's not going anywhere. And that's it. That's never there. And that's also the trap people are falling into. How can I get more likes? How can I get more comments? How can I get more video views? Only if getting more video views, you have something that shows you, okay, it will mean more sales. Or like, it's important because it's going to lead them into this funnel or do this thing, right? So I think that that's just sort of the thing that everyone's starting to miss these days. And I just get so worried that people think it's about better content and they miss the other part. They miss the assassin. They miss it actually equaling sales, especially in the gym game. It's so important because you can just put heaps of great content out there and nothing ever comes of it. And like, yeah, you made an impact, but it didn't affect your wallet.
No.
And then you won't be able to make more content in the future. So,
correct.
I want to get to more personalized for us. Thought maybe,
yeah,
maybe the public forum is a good place to air out our private stuff. So we're looking to create a sales team now. You know, for the longest time, it's just been Raf and I making the majority of sales. What, 95% of the sales? Our coaches are amazing and they can do sales when they're given the opportunity. But it's been the last sort of role in the business, which, you know, has been tough to let go of. But, you know, in a way, it's the most important, right? It's the most effective. So how have you transitioned people at our level out of doing all the sales, and what have been some struggles and stuff that people have experienced with kind of handing off the sales, and if they ever do?
Okay, great question. So I think we'll just back up a little bit and just talk about, first off, because you guys have been successful in sales already, and so now for you it's about duplicating yourself in sales. Let's just back up a little bit and talk about, if you're not good in sales yet and you're just trying to figure that out before you duplicate yourself, and then we can scale the conversation up a little bit. So I think in the beginning it starts with, you know, if you're not good at sales, you know, you need to, number one, fix your mindset. Number two, get a process and get proven tools and systems. And number three, you need to just practice and have a process where you can retrospective and improve. And until you get that going, really, you know, there's no point in investing in marketing. There's no point in doing all this hours of social content and all this stuff. Like, sales is everything for a business, and every business, but especially in our business, in the fitness industry and fitness services, you have to be able to, you know, lead someone to make a commitment to their goals. And that, and I want to start with understanding what is sales, because a lot of people have a poor mindset around what sales is, or the purpose of sales, or how it works. And sales is about, I believe, you know, selling is serving, and sales is about best serving the person in front of you today. And to me, it's really the most important coaching moment you ever have, and the first coaching moment you have with a client or prospective client, because if they don't make a commitment to their goals in your program, then all the stuff that you have to offer them in terms of, like, you know, your programming and your coaching has a zero value, zero benefit to them. So it's this time when we get to have a conversation with them and lead them to making a commitment, that's the start of the magic in a coaching relationship. It's helping lead someone to get clear about what's important to them, where they want to go, and make a commitment to the journey. And making commitment to their goals and their journey is number one. And then your program, your process, your systems, and your education and coaching are going to come and support them on that journey. So you have to understand, if you know, people that don't really like sales, to me, says you don't really like leading clients to success, and you're afraid to engage those conversations and challenge clients to make a commitment to their goals. And you're probably not a very good coach at the end of the day. You probably just want to give people hugs, and you're afraid to give people a kick in the ass. You know, and we need to, if we're going to best lead people, and that's really what coaching is, and fitness and business, everything, like, if we're going to best lead people, we have to be able to engage conversations where we're helping someone get clear on where they want to go, why it's important to them, and help them understand what their level of commitment is and raise their level of commitment to their journey. And then understand where we come up is in helping close the gap of where we support them, where we challenge them into becoming the best version of themselves they can be. And that all begins in sales. Sales, leadership, coaching, at the heart, it's all the same thing. It's leading effective conversations for people to engage their journey. So this is number one, is understand what sales is and get your head right around, you know, engaging and committing to becoming better at this, you know, the methodology, and fall in love with sales. I mean, sales is where all the good things happen. When someone makes a commitment to change, their life gets better. That's the moment it starts. So fall in love with that. That you got to love that spark and helping people embrace that. So mindset is number one in sales. Every time I talk about it, too, I get passionate. It's like, it's just so fun, right?
It's so amazing. Yeah.
This is really what it's all about. And then number two is, you need to have a proven methodology or system to follow. Otherwise, you're just winging it. You're making it up as you go. You know, and we see this, you know, people get to the end and they're like, you know, they're scared to ask for a close, you know, well, you know, you could sign up today, or maybe, you know, let me know in a week if they think that might be good. And, you know, it's really just lame, right? So, we need to have good process, good execution, and be able to deliver that confidently. You know, we've been teaching for now 14 years a process methodology we call AutoCloser. It's a 7.5 step sales system that we teach. And we just drill that process over and over again. And I'll just cover that briefly just to give some context. But so mindset number one, methodology, system, process, tools, number two, right? And the process is really about, number one, our first step, we call it half step, is pre-qualification. This is really about helping take the objections out, the biggest objections out. So the biggest objections of why people don't sign up for fitness services is, A, it's too expensive, and B, I got to go talk to my partner or think it over or whatever, and generally because it's too expensive, right? So it all comes down to price and value prop. So we want to make sure we clean that up front and pre-frame someone to come in and make a good decision when we meet with them face-to-face. So pre-qualification is really, you know, helping people. And there's a script and process we teach, and it's really important. But essentially, you know, we're going to explain what we do. We're going to give a range of our prices, and we ask people if that's in their budget. They say yes or no. If they say no, move on. You know, they're not your fit. Be willing to say no. If you are in a fit, great. And then we want to make sure, you know, we want to pre-frame them to come in to make a buying decision. So we're going to explain, you know, and this is really important how we do that. Without going through the whole script, I'll just share just a few brief pieces of this. But, you know, pre-qualifying price is easy. It's like, this is what we do. Tell me a little about your goals. Great. Are you doing anything right now? Any injuries? Da, da, da. Okay. Here's what we do. Our program, brief description. And then our prices range from this to this per week if we're in Australia, or per month if we're in the US or Canada. Is that in your budget? And they're going to say yes or no. If they say yes, great. If they say no, okay, probably not the right fit. You know, check out Fitness First or something like that, right? Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
If they say yes, great, we'll continue. And then we, you know, we're going to give them a couple times to come in and meet with us for a consultation. We teach consultative selling. I believe that's the best selling methodology. Some of this depends on your offer too, and your front end offer, and your, you know, are you doing free trials, free consults, paid assessments, paid trials? There's some nuances there, but essentially, you want to meet with people face to face. That's where you're going to be able to lead an effective conversation around this commitment, right? Yeah. So, we want to meet with people face to face. And
so, I'll just add to the free call. Yeah. After doing hundreds of these, like every single time I skipped one of these bits of the script, I would be in the consult and I would regret it. Like it would come up. It would come up because you skipped that bit in the pre-qual.
It's true.
You know, and you just learn it the hard way.
Yeah.
And then after doing so many of them, you never skip it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I'm so glad you said that, because and you need to also even like feel that pain of like screwing it up, because you're like, oh, why did I not do this the way it was supposed to be done?
100%.
Because I'm just paying the price. So then you get real about doing the right way every time, right? And then you don't have this problem. So then we go into you know, spouse objections, and really what we could, because in no matter what country you're in, but managing this is important. You know, we don't want to say like, well, it's going to be real expensive, and you know, do you have the ability to you know, spend money, Mrs. Jones, or do you really need to go and check with, you know, Big Daddy at home before you, you know, throw down on the training program? It's really rude and insensitive, and you know, we don't want to say that. So what we like to do is pre-frame in the positioning of on price is, we'll say, okay, you know, when a lot of our clients were you know, reviewing our program and make a decision to join, they prefer to read the information with a spouse or family member. And frankly, we encourage that, because having everybody, you know, have all the information to make a really commitment to your lifestyle and your goals is going to be important for you to have the best success. So may I ask, if you like what we have to offer, is there anyone else involved in the decision of you joining our program? And it makes it okay for them to say, yeah, my spouse or partner or parent or someone's going to be involved in that decision. And we'd say, awesome. Bring them on down with you. We'd love them to, you know, show you both the program, show you the facility, explain what we do, and go from there. And this is also great, because generally, not only you get one client, you know, you get two or three, your whole family, right? So we multiply now really quickly, because everybody wants what we have, you know, especially if we're good at what we do. So we get this, we confirm that, and then we say, great, you know, and if, you know, if they're unable to join at the time, then just, you know, reschedule, and we want you both here. It's going to be really important. We get them. And then the last piece is, we say, great, what's going to happen when you come in? We're going to do X, Y, and Z. We kind of explain the process of the consultation or the assessment or whatever it might be. At the end, we'll ask you to, you know, if we have a good fit, we'll ask you to join the program, make a decision about joining the program at that time. Is that okay with you? Great. Okay, perfect. So we explain, you know, A, they know the price. B, you know, they have the ability to make a buying decision. And C, they know they're going to be asked to make a decision. So now we've set them up for success to come in and meet face to face. So this is like 80% of the sale is made in the pre-qual script. And if you screw this up, you're going to kick yourself later, right? As Raph said. So very important. And then we get face to face. So then we get into rapport building when someone comes in. This is really important, because we forget, you know, we're in the gym every day, we're just coaching classes or coaching clients, training sessions, and this is what we do. But we forget, for someone who maybe is not very active or deconditioned, coming into this environment can be very intimidating, and they can, you know, there's a lot of emotions going on too. No one comes into the gym because things are going right in their life. And, you know, generally, you know, there's some, you know, they're not feeling great about their body, their health, their fitness, and a lot of those things that are just underneath the surface. We have to respect that and have empathy and support them in coming in, help them feel less awkward, less uncomfortable. You know, you imagine someone who doesn't feel good about their body and they're coming into, you know, one of your gyms and shirts off, you know, abs out. They're like, oh my God, I won't even look at myself naked in the bathroom, let alone like be in this gym with, you know, Greek gods and goddesses. So we have to respect where they're at and support them. So rapport building is really important when someone walks in, is, you know, shake their hand, look them in the eye, smile, talk about anything other than what you're going to talk about. Like, you know, how was the traffic? What part of town are you on? Did you see the footy game last night or anything else, just to get the conversation going and start to, you know, be less awkward, right, for them, and help them relax and be a little more comfortable in the environment. So rapport is really important. And it's one of the most important things you can do. You should be genuine, be smile, be inviting, have good energy about you when you meet someone new. And then we get into probing discovery questions. And now, you know, when we sit down, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to ask good questions that are going to help help them become aware of where they're at and where they want to go and what's in their way, and lead them ultimately to making the decision and commitment process. So, you know, probing discovery questions, there's a lot of things to cover there, but essentially the top three questions I'll share for every fitness consultation that everybody should be using is, number one, tell me a little bit about your health and fitness goals, and tell me a little bit about, that's really important. That's called a softener in front of those words. And then the delivery of that tone is really important, right? That it's not, it's like a actor in a stage. It's not a, you know, tell me about your health and fitness goals. Yeah. You know, it's not an interrogation. It's not like rude and weird. It's just, you know, tell me a little about your health and fitness goals, right? Yeah. And it's creating a space for someone to engage that open-ended question. And we're using open-ended questions here. Open-ended questions are questions, the who, what, when, where, how, right? And they require someone to think through an idea, thought, or opinion to where they can respond. It's not yes or no, like when you see in court cases, you know, it's like yes or no, right? The attorneys, these are open-ended questions we're using.
Yeah.
So tell me a little about your goals. Number two, why are those goals important to you? And we want to drill down, what is the driver, what is the emotional driver of why someone, you know, rocked up today? You know, they could have done a lot of things today. They could be home watching Netflix. Why are they here? Why is this important? We want to understand, what are the emotional drivers? You know, this is where all the good stuff's going to come. You know, you're going to hear about things that have happened or things that have occurred that this is now emotionally meaningful to address this area of their life in a new way that they haven't been addressing today. And that's great. We want to understand, you know, any coach, if you're serious about coaching, you want to know what is driving your athlete or what drives your client. We got to understand that psychology. And then question number three, and you really drill down on that until you get a good answer to that. You know, and sometimes we have to ask that a question a few times, or if they kind of brush it off the first time, we want to go deep in that question. And then three is, how committed are you to your goals on a scale of 1 to 10? And this is really want to help them self-assess their level of commitment to their goals. You know, generally speaking, someone will tell you, you know, if they say, I'm a 10, say, great. Whatever they say, just say, what makes you say a 10? What makes you say an 8? They say a 10. Well, I'm just really committed. I really want to do this. I'm fired up, ready to go. Awesome. Great. Let's continue, right? Move on. Or if they say, I'm an 8. What makes you say an 8? Well, I've really wanted to do this for a while, but you know, I travel a lot and I've got just a lot of responsibilities and I'm not sure if, you know, what's going to be required of me and such. And so this is where, as coaches, you know, what we do is we close the gap. We help our clients close the gap. We're the difference maker to get them from an 8 to a 10, right? Help them become the best version of themselves they can be. So we might say, just flip that and say, okay, so what we're hearing you say is that, you know, working with a coach to really have really good programming that meets with your busy schedule demands and having that accountability is going to be critical to helping you stay on track and get the most out of your program. Is that right? Yes. Okay. Do you think with that support we can get you to 10? Yes. Okay, great. Boom. Now we can continue. And you really don't want to go, you don't want to proceed until you get a 10. How do we get them to a 10? What's the gap and how are we going to close to get them to a 10? And then once we're there, there's other questions, other parts of the program discovery process, but we've now got the architecture for making a commitment, right? And that's where it starts in understanding that.
So I'll just, one of the little hacks I use in that, in the get from an 8 to a 9 and 9 yes. to a 10 or whatever is sometimes, at least in the Australian culture, is a lot of people won't ever say 10.
Right.
Right. Because they don't want to.
Top poppy.
Yeah. It's like 10's too much, right? Yeah. I'm never 10 on anything. So what I tell people is in that moment.
I'm a comfortable 7.2.
Yeah. Yeah. They go, oh, I'm 8. Oh, okay. Why are you not a 10? They go, oh, well, 10's just like way too all in, like way too committed. So I'll just say what it would be to be a 10, so and get them to agree to that so that they say, oh, yeah, like if that was that and that, then I would be a 10. So I'll just say something like, so it sounds like you're like really realistic about your goals and you wouldn't like overcommit to anything too crazy, but if you found the right thing and you were doing really well and it was like worth every dollar, you would totally be a 10. They're like, yeah, of course. You're like, all right, cool. Well, that's us. Love like, it. Let's keep going.
So there's the Australian hack for
the Aussie.
For less engaged to committed, you know, prospects.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it. It's perfect. Yeah, that's so good. And I'll say, in the States too, you know, the only one time when I was originally building the system and using some of my own business, you know, many years ago, out of thousands of consultations, only one time did I ever get a 2, and it was like, what makes you say 2? I really don't want to be here. You know, my husband told me I need to do it, but I don't feel good right now. Like I had some personal issues. So that I'd say, you know, I just stopped the consultation and say, you know what? I really appreciate that. Thank you for being honest and transparent. You know, to be transparent with you, fitness takes a huge commitment. If you haven't been active and to really engage this, and you know, if you're not ready to make that commitment and create that space for yourself, then maybe this isn't the right time and place for you. And I don't want to, you know, waste your time. And then she said, thank you very much. And, you know, but, you know, please come back if things change once you work through, you know, she was like, need to go to therapy for some personal life issues and some other things. And needed to address that first and foremost.
Sure,
right.
So,
and she said, thank you and left and move on. And, you know, be willing to let them go. Right. It's like catch and release. So, you know, we always want to, again, sales, coaching, leadership. Your job is to best serve the person in front of you in that moment, whatever that means. And your goal is to create clarity to understand what that means and help your client or prospective client understand what that means. It's not to make the sale. It's to create clarity so we can all make good decisions to move forward with whatever is best for us to move forward at this moment in life and time. So that's probing discovery. We get into, after that step, we get to identifying needs. And identifying needs is a really important process because most people don't understand what their needs are. You know, when a prospective client walks into the business, you know, and you see like they got bags under their eyes, they're like maybe a little shaky and jittery, they've got some extra weight around the midsection, you know they're probably highly stressed, they haven't been sleeping enough, they're probably cranked on caffeine and sugar, you know, all these things that are going to, you know, their hormones are going to be out of whack, they're, you know, like, you know what's happening underneath the surface because you've seen it and dealt with these cases a million times. But our clients are not that self-aware about, they don't know what's going on. They don't know what's causing these things. They don't know the behaviors they're engaging are creating the problem or are the problem, right? And so we need to help them become aware of what their needs are. And so essentially we do the identifying needs stage of the consultations. We say, great. You know, so what I heard you say, Mrs. Jones is, you know, X, Y, Z. And really we're just repeating back what they've shared. You know, your clothes don't fit anymore. You've been gaining weight for several years. You've been trying to lose this weight for the last 5 years. Nothing's worked. And really you don't feel good about yourself and your body more. Is that right? And essentially we're just summarizing everything they've said about the challenges and the problems. And we're asking them to confirm that. And because you're repeating their words and their language, you know, they have to acknowledge that. They have to say, take ownership and say, yes, that's the situation. And that can be a very difficult thing to process too, especially for, you know, people that are emotional. And this is an emotional issue, right? When it comes to our health, our body image. And so you might get some tears at this point in the conversation. That's okay. You want to let that occur because it's not, you're just, people have to be willing to face the current circumstances to move forward from them. You know, we have to get out of a case of denial. Like, it's not that bad. No, it's okay. We have to face where we're really at. And so identifying needs is really important because we call this holding up the mirror. We hold up the mirror. We say, this is the mirror. Is that right? And they have to acknowledge this. That's right. Or they might correct you and say, that's mostly right, but also this. Okay, so it's this. Is that right? You know, but you want to get agreement on where we're at today.
Yep.
Right? And then once we get that, then we go into what we call problem building. And now this is helping them understand what are the root causes of these issues, because they're not aware of the what's causing, right? These are all, and we like to say these are all just, our transition statement is these are all just symptoms of a much bigger problem that comes from one, two, three. And there's three main problems that we focus on. Communicating, they generally focus around, you know, these slightly vary given your model and your methodology and your programming for fitness, but essentially be, you know, you're doing an incomplete program, you don't have the right, you know, programming methodology for what to follow or what to do, and you don't have the support to really make these changes and embed these new habits in your lifestyle to not only get some change but create the habits to have it for life. And then we transition into, okay, so I'm going to tell you how we're going to help you solve these problems, and then move into the presentation. And the presentation step, and now we're in, by the way, we're in step five, presentation. And now we're really explaining our methodology. Okay, this is how we help people go from point A to point B. And we have kind of a framework and methodology we give people. It's kind of a done-for methodology that works for really every health and fitness coaching business, but you can personalize this. And we recommend people personalize their presentation with their own photos and graphics and that kind of stuff. But essentially, we're going to help people explain this is how, this is critical. We have to explain a process, right? So what is the process of how we get you from here to there? Because a lot of people's perception of personal training and fitness is, I don't know, it's like fitness for some guy's going to be down here, he's going to count to 10. He's going to have some counter, you know, and some, he's going to be texting on his phone
and a whip.
Just like, you know, they think personal trainers and coaches are just idiots, you know, and they're not smart. They're not intelligent. They're paid for weak people to count them to 10 and hold their hand. And, you know, I'm not, what is the value that is really created for me by investing in a coach or investing in a, you know, people don't understand that. Right. So by us explaining this, explaining what we do and how it works, we get to help them understand the value, right? So once they understand their needs, we understand the in a process, we can understand the value of the solution we're asking people to invest in. And so we want to make a good presentation, and then we go into the close. We teach what's called an alternate choice close. We believe like very no pressure sales, very no pressure close. Like closing isn't something you hammer someone like, give me your money, right? It's an opportunity we give someone. And so essentially we set up the psychology of there's a door number one, door number two, which one's best for you? And essentially, before we get into this, by the way, there's a lot we cover on pricing and packaging. And essentially, your program, if you're still selling like 5-10 session packs, like you're not serving anybody, right? Essentially, you need to align a term length of a program to matching a client's needs and goals and what they want to accomplish, right? Our job is to sell people the complete solution and help them make the commitment to become the person they want to become. So whatever their goals are, we want to right size the program and the program length and term to get them there. And then we just explain, great, we've got, 12 months, 6 months, with 12 months being a little better value for the full commitment up front, which one's best for you? And generally speaking, that's how we recommend a lot of packaging is 3, 6, 12 months in most cases. And then they're going to either say, this one, right? 12 months, 6 months, or they're going to voice an objection. They're going to say yes. Door number one, door number two is going to either way mean a sale because they made a commitment, or they're going to raise an objection. And then there's an objection process. We go into the bonus round. And by the way, closing is step six, right? And then bonus round as step seven is objection. If you have an objection. Now, generally speaking, if you execute this process correctly, you're not going to have objections. Mm. Like objections go away because you've pre-qualled, right? So you know they can afford you. You know they can make a buying decision, and all you can do is screw it up. Really, at this point, like you've screwed it up. If you're getting an objection, but sometimes we have to go back and we have to rebuild the problem. Generally, pre-qual or problem building are the places where things break down. We fix that. But even for objection handling, there's a process we follow for objection handling. So we got to follow. Number one, you want to listen. Don't interrupt. A lot of people, someone started objecting, they start interrupting and talking over them, and it's really just looks bad. It's very defensive and it looks weak, and you want to give them respect for just listening to them. And oftentimes, people will stream of consciousness because they're in the moment of processing their own thoughts. They'll talk themselves out of their own objection. You guys have seen this happen many times. You're like, well, it seems expensive, but when I look at this, when I look at that, I'm spending money here and I redirect this. Okay, this is great. Let me just sign up. Yeah. Boom. Right. Yeah. And that's great. You want to let them go. Let them figure that out in their own head. Let them make commitment and move forward. So listen, number one, and don't interrupt. But if we do continue this process, it's too expensive. Well, help me understand that. Too expensive compared to what? What do you mean by that? Right. And now we want to, this is step two, we want to question the objection, right? So have a good question, an open-ended question. and let them process. And again, you might find they process themselves out of their own objection here. And this is where we're questioning the belief, right? Same thing, belief, right? It's too expensive versus a belief, I can't afford not to invest in my health and well-being, right? This, so we're questioning the belief, allowing them to form an open, you know, an idea or thought opinion around their belief. And they're either going to challenge their own belief that is a negative belief that's not letting them afford, or they're going to double down the belief, and we're going to have to dig around, ask some more questions to help move them forward in the belief. And really, that's what we're just using. We're using opening questions to question, challenge those beliefs.
Mm.
And then once we remove the objection, we ask for the sale again, we close it, move on. So, you know, again, this takes a little bit of practice, the objection handling a piece of it. The majority of the wins are going to come from mastering the other steps. But once you really master objection handling, you know, you can always lead effectively at every point, and you're in full control of leading a client to success, which is really empowering as a coach or as a business owner or as a manager, because now I know I can really lead someone to success every time. When you can do that, I mean, that's like miracle working. Really, it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's helping someone make a commitment to ever to change their life. And so, you know, this all gets back to the methodology, the system, the process, the tools, get all that together, right? And there's other stuff with having good agreements and contracts and policies, all the stuff we do kind of post-closing. And then you got to learn how to just, you know, practice. I think like sales is an effective communication is a skill set like any other skill set. And, you know, if you go to the gym once every 3 weeks, you're not going to get very fit, you know, like, but if you go to the gym 3 times a week, every week or more, you know, you're going to be fit. So sales, especially when we're teaching sales, we recommend an hour a day dedicated to just practice, you know, role play with friends, record yourself on your computer, on your phone, listen back. We have, you know, sheets we give people to self-critique themselves and analyze components and identify what they did well, what they need to improve, and where can they make better improvements for next time, and fall in love with the practice of the skill. You know, first time you listen to yourself on a recording, I'm sure you guys, first time you listen to yourself in the podcast, you're like, we sound terrible. Like, I would never download this, right? And then we practice, and all of a sudden, yeah, this sounds pretty great. Like, I love it. And you've got to work out your own stuff, and you got to go through that journey. So fall in love with the practice pieces. So, and I share that as a framework because of this whole of the mindset, the methodology, and the falling in love with the practice, execution, refinement, because when we're going to talk about scaling sales, original question, we got to fall in love with those components first. You got to get good at what you're doing before you start scaling what you're doing, right, with others. So wherever you're at, and I would share this recording with your coaches. It would be one of the first things we need to do is let them listen to understand their mindset, their methodology and tools, and them dedicating themselves to the craft and the art of the skill of salesmanship is what is first and foremost, right? They've got to do those three things. So once that gets in this, if you're listening to this just yourself and just your own business right now, that's where you start. Whether you're brand new coach or you've got, you know, a gym and, you know, you're doing 10K a week, it's the same thing. So get that right. And sales is the most impactful piece. When we fix sales, we fix, I'll say within that packaging and pricing and things within sales as well. When we get all that working, sales is the biggest immediate impact we can have on a business. You know, we can take a business that's losing money today and have it profitable like this week with sales,
yeah,
right? And it's amazing. Like, that's the growth engine is sales. So get so many people want to, as you said, fall in love with marketing, content, social. None of that matters unless you can sell. And frankly, good sales, excuse me, can overcome terrible marketing. Like, you can have worse marketing out there, but you're still killing it because you're so good at leading those conversations. And when you're good at that and you're leading good at sales, you don't need many people. You don't need many leads. You know, you look at conversion. I mean, we did some stuff this last few days of the event. People that have, you know, just a lot of marketing going on, but the conversion is terrible. You're going to need so many leads. You're never going to get there. And your marketing costs are going to be so great. Versus people that are crushing sales, you need very little marketing because, you know, it's you're just killing it with every person that walks in the door. And they're worth more, you know, in the pricing packaging, and they're adding more to the bottom line faster. So get all that right, fall in love and get that right. And now the place where you guys are at though today, where you're now starting to build and scale a sales team, we're starting to duplicate ourselves in those functions. So, you know, when we talk about those things, I like to talk about the VPE framework. So vision number one, people number two, execution number three. So vision is starting to help your team see the vision. Like, this is how this all works, right? You have to have the right mindset. You've got to understand how to use these processes and tools, and you have to fall in love with the craft. You have to paint the vision. And here's our targets. Here's where we're going. Like, this is the job to be done. And as leaders, we have to create clarity with our teams around the vision, right? Don't expect what's in your head is something they're going to understand off the bat or get. And very often, most entrepreneurs and business owners, you know, the vision is not clear in their own head, let alone be able to communicate that to anyone else. So we have to get the vision really clear. And the more clear and simpler we can make the vision, the easier it is you set up the game to win for your team. And then people, getting the right people aligned. So, you know, a lot of times in sales, and this is from both training developing salespeople, but training developing leaders with sales teams, people often misinterpret, think, oh, the person who loves to talk, they're going to be the best salesperson. No. Generally, they're not. Generally, the best salespeople are the best listeners. I find not the extroverts, the introverts who can just ask good questions and listen and reflect and lead in a conversation. That's going to be the most effective, person. So, but we're looking for people who, for identifying people who have an opportunity to grow in sales. Number one, they got to have the drive to want to grow in this area and to pursue their professional career in new ways and engage new learning. And they have to have be willing to listen and have to represent your values and your brand. You know, these are going to be your front line, right? They're going to be people that make first contact with the potential customer, and they're going to represent your brand. They're going to be brand ambassadors in the day. So you've got to make sure they align with your values, purpose, mission, and so on. And once we identify the right people who want to grow and have a desire and are willing to be coachable, and it doesn't take much. If you align with our values, purpose, mission, you have the drive, and you're coachable, we can teach anyone to do this. Anyone. Once we've got that, then it's about execution. Execution is about getting them in the right training program, spending time with them, developing them, plugging them into programs like NP, let us do it for you, because very often having a third party, even at NPE, I've been teaching sales training to fitness businesses around the world for 14 years. I still bring in sales experts and trainers to work with my team because having someone else to deliver the message and to do the work and a lot of nitty gritty work, as a business owner, you're going to be involved in other areas of your business. So having an external third party, it's like kids we talk about, you can tell the thing to your kid all day and, your family, and they don't want to listen, but someone else says it and now it's genius, right? Yeah. So having someone else to help in that process is really helpful. And there's I think, for you guys, it's start of the work we're starting to do right now to multiply your sales team. And then there's kind of another level that will come later and really ongoing sales leadership and development, leading people and leading sales professionals is there's more that kind of comes when you build the team and get all that rolling and start hitting targets. Then there's going to be more that comes over time, but how we really build a culture, how we really build a team around sales. But that's like level 10, we need to start at level 1, 2, 3, just start working the progression. And that's how we see the revenue go up. We see the team come together. We see, we get halfway up the mountain and the journey looks differently to keep going. So long story long.
No, that's good.
How do we get to double sales and multiply a team to sell for you? Those are the steps in the journey. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was pretty thorough. I wouldn't want to add too much to that, to be honest. So, think that people can take the parts of that they need and use it. But I think, a big part of it is there is so much listening and not a lot of action. So I would encourage anyone listening to this. I mean, this is why we do the podcast, to help people. And there are definitely action takers out there that can listen to this and go implement it and have it be effective. But from the hundreds of gym owners I've interacted with, it's 1 in 50. Most people, I wouldn't even say we're that 1 in 50. Most people need other people's help. They need external accountability, right? They need some form of a boss almost in a way, right? Even if it's a paid boss, just someone to hold you accountable to do it. That's why they pay for coaching in fitness, right? Because they can't hold themselves accountable. Not many people can. So I'd say if you're listening to this and it's, it's resonating with you and you want to improve these things, and definitely at least have a conversation with you guys, right, at MPE. So I know we've got the link, themymuscleproject.com/MPE, so people can check that out. But at the start of this episode, we did talk about a download and a link that you can go to as well. So if you just kind of want a soft start there, you guys can click over to that link and check that thing out as well. It's all about sales. So, Sean, it was a pleasure to have you in the studio in person.
Yes.
Delivering the goods.
It's a pleasure to be here as always.
Can't do that digitally. Shake your hand.
Thanks for being.
There you go. Thanks so much, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.